Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams, bringing you Can We Talk on Fridays from 8 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's been at least a month since we last aired our last show, and I'm excited to do today's show tonight because we have an awesome woman of God who happens to be a family member of mine, and she and her husband have been on the show numerous times, and I've been really bugging her to do a show for the fellas tonight to help us out, and finally she agreed to do the show after months of harassing her, and we're gonna have Minister Sherelle Munn, who I will introduce shortly. Well, I want to kind of go into my little rant that I usually go into before I start a show, and today is by the way, I hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I think I put on at least 3 or 4 pounds. Ate too much pumpkin pie and whatnot, but it was very delicious, though. I must say that. But I hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and big shout out to our Native American brothers and sisters who caught a bad rap many generations ago, but God is with them. But anyway, a trap is the hidden trick of an enemy to take you captive or prisoner. To trap wild animals, some have used a spring-like device that usually has concealed danger with an enticing lure or some type of tempting bait. Many times, people will dig a big hole in the ground and cover it up with branches and leaves so that others do not recognize the pitfall dangers as they travel in that area. People have walked down this path being unfamiliar with the danger, and many have fallen into it and were caught. Whether you realize it or not, you are walking down a figurative trail in life, and Satan has placed many concealed traps in your path in order to take you captive. We must learn to recognize these potential traps in order to do this. I believe that we need to become familiar with examples found in the Bible of what Satan has used on other people. Only by learning and studying these devices and methods of our spiritual enemy can we even begin to become familiar with the certain impending traps that will be presented to us by the enemy. And only then we can learn to recognize these traps as we learn how to avoid them. While natural traps are hidden dangers to your physical well-being, spiritual traps are hidden pitfalls that are intended for your spiritual harm. Now, since Satan is not physically present in this world, at least until the Antichrist is revealed, and as it's illegal for him to be in physical manifestation to harm you, he has adapted and changed up his attack and strategy and how to trap us. So what he does, he uses physical people in the world to set traps for other people and for us. And Satan works very hard to deceive everyone. By many times, he concentrates on a select few, which are easier to deceive. And these types are easy targets. Are usually you know, most ignorant, or people that are usually led by their lusts and desires. So Satan then traps them into believing his lies and uses them to deceive others through their enticing baited words of partial truth. Today's show is titled A Warning to Godly Men. Now, the scripture warns men time and time again to stay away from evil women. The Bible describes them as greedy, rebellious, unsubmissive, wicked, adulterous, gossiping, slandering, and sexually immoral. Bad wives and evil women in the Bible have done great damage, such as led Solomon astray, betrayed Samson, and ordered the killing of John the Baptist. Now, evil women will cause Christian men to compromise and sin because they are on the wrong path and will bring you down with them. So this show tonight is in no way bashing women. We know that there are many godly women who listen to and support this show. But today's show is dealing with the reality that as men of God, many of us have not done a good job in picking and selecting the right women to build a life with. We have rejected godly wisdom coupled with godly women in favor of women that the Bible warns us to stay away from. But this is not merely about the women. It's more to do with us as godly men and the condition of our hearts. These women do not force us to be with them, but the enemy, through his crafty and strategic analysis of us, has exploited our weaknesses and errors within us that we have still not turned over to God, errors in our life that are still unsanctified, and thus set the bait and prepares a trap for us to fall into. So tonight's show is not again, I want to repeat this. It's not an indictment against women or ungodly women, but more as a warning to us as godly men to get our hearts right. Because if our relationship with the Father is right, the enemy and whomever he sends our way will not be able to get a foothold. This has resulted in, you know, not heeding to this has resulted in delayed blessings for many men, and sometimes even blocked blessings, lost and wasted finances, the loss of valuable time, and even the loss of life. So I want to go ahead and introduce my co-host on tonight's show, Minister Dale Lott from Atlanta, Georgia. Brother, how are you doing today, sir, and what do you think tonight's topic?
Oh, I'm doing great, man, and you know what? As always, another awesome topic from you, man, because it's always important to recognize that the person that you're walking with has the biggest impact on your destiny. And I think a lot of times we just underestimate that, and we think that we can just select who we want to select, you know, and it's almost like a plug and play. We just pick somebody and just plug them into our lives, and things just work out the way that we want to, and that's really not the way that God designed it. He designed it, you know, for us to have someone that's comparable in our lives. He created us a pair, and we got to be cognizant of that.
Amen. Absolutely. Guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Now I want to go ahead and introduce my special guest for tonight's show. Before I do that, I want to read her bio. Sherelle Munn, executive board member of Lessons for Life International, is a 20-plus year beauty expert and cosmetic makeup artist, managing in scores of international luxury brands. Born and raised in Los Angeles, California, she has done makeup artistry for the film and TV industries, red carpet events, fashion shows, photo shoots, weddings, and a host of other events. And also having a lifelong passion for children, she has volunteered over 14 years for the Nursery and Children's Church. In addition, Sherelle will be establishing a gospel record label and producing music in Auckland, New Zealand, inspiring others to follow God and pursue their God-given dreams. Sherelle is also the loving, supportive wife of Minister Ira Munn, founder and CEO of Iris Space Industries. Sister, Minister, friend Sherelle, it's good to have you on Can We Talk. How are you, my sister? And what do you think tonight's topic?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm so thrilled and excited and humble and honored to be here on the show tonight. So this topic is crucial. It's so relevant to today's culture, and I can't wait to dig into it.
Amen. Well, guys, again, if you're tuning in for the first time, we are talking about A Warning to Godly Men, special guest, Minister Sherelle Munn, my co-host, Minister Dale Lott, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. The number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. Now, the reason I was prompted to do this show was in speaking with Minister Sherelle. She had such a powerful word the Lord gave her to minister to me a few weeks back, and I asked her to share this with the men of God listening. And, Sherelle, I'm going to give you the floor for the next 30, 35 minutes to share with the people what the Lord has put in your heart today. And after that, we're going to get into some questions and answers. Is that okay?
Definitely.
Amen.
So, well, you know, Brother Raz, he's my brother, and we have a lot of deep conversations, and we talk a lot about just life and different subjects about life. And, you know, oftentimes we talk about the role of a woman, or the role of a wife, the role of the man, a husband, and just dating and, you know, the whole process of being single and just, you know, all the blessings that come with being single, and then also all the blessings that come with being married. And, you know, so we've shared so much deep conversation on these subjects throughout the years of, you know, just having conversations. And so we often talk about spiritual warfare. Things are set up strategically. There's a strategy of the enemy, the adversary. The devil, we know, is here to steal, kill, and destroy God's people. And he wants to destroy the marriage unit more than anything, because marriage is a ordained covenant between a man and a woman. And so the devil wants nothing more to destroy the family, because ultimately, if he can destroy the family and the marriage, he can destroy the human race. And that goes into politics. You know, everything with the politics is all about, if you can take down the man, you can ultimately destroy a family unit, and you can ultimately, you know, you can destroy the marriage, and you just destroy society. You destroy just how society functions, and that's why we're in the hot mess we are today in society, because it ultimately goes back to biblical principles of a husband and a wife becoming one and becoming one in Christ. So it goes back to having an ordained marriage. And so you have these women out here that are Jezebel spirits. You got these Delilah spirits and these Diana spirits. And they often disguise themselves as friends, church members, or just nice women. Sometimes they realize it and sometimes they don't realize it, but they're being used to take down men of God. And women are attracted to the anointing. They're attracted to an anointed man of God. Mm-hmm. If you're an anointed man of God, there is an attraction there. It's if I could say this, having anointing takes you to another level. It's almost like another level of attraction, where women, it's like a magnet for women to be even more attracted to you. You're more attractive just than the average man. It's not, you know, it's on a whole other level, because I think it's ordained by God, and anything that's ordained by God is what we gravitate towards. So I think women, they, when they see an anointed man, there's a natural gravitation towards that man. And a man of God has to stay covered. He has to stay covered with his prayers. He has to stay covered under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He has to keep a real, true purpose of every intention he does, every decision he makes has to be a really God-conscious decision. Is God going to be pleased with this decision, no matter what the decision is, all day, every day? And you have to really ask yourself, like, what's the purpose behind this relationship, or what's the purpose behind this decision? And you have to really question yourself, because women have, these Delilah spirits, these Jezebel spirits, these seducing spirits, they know how to disguise themselves as harmless and friendly, but there is a real seduction behind it. There's a real temptress spirit that they know how to tempt and seduce. And it's a very vulnerable thing for a man to just say, oh, you know, she's just a coworker, or she's just a church friend, or she's just this nice lady down the street. But honestly, you have to really guard your heart and really know, like, when it comes to choosing a lifelong partner, when it comes to choosing a woman that you want to court, you have to really ask God to reveal her heart to you. Ask God, you know, what is her heart intention? What type of heart does she have? Because if she's not suited to be your long life partner, she will ultimately take you. A lot of these women are actually going to take men of God to hell with them. And the number one way they're going to take a man to hell with them is through having sex. And once you have sex with these women, they hook you. They hook you with the sex, and ultimately, you end up going off the path of righteousness. You end up going off the path of the straight and narrow path. You end up backsliding to the point of you just go in the total wrong direction. And a lot of times people keep going to church and they keep doing their Christian thing, but they don't realize that they have totally missed the mark of God and they've totally gotten off the path of righteousness. God says that, you know, fornicators and adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so a lot of people will still go to church. They'll still pay their tithes or offering, and they'll still go to church even though they're now living with their girlfriend or they're now sleeping with their girlfriend, thinking, shouting hallelujah, praise the Lord, but they don't realize that they're on their way to hell with this woman who's not their wife. And then if they don't repent of their sexual activities before they get married, if they get married, it brings in a can of worms into the realm of their marriage. Lack of trust, and just so much rebellion from that decisions you were making that it brings in a spirit of rebellion into the marriage. And oftentimes those marriages don't last more than a few years, and that's why a lot of Christian marriages are now 50% rate of divorce, the same as secular, you know, divorce rates. So a lot of times those marriages were never ordained by God to begin with, because you basically married a Jezebel spirit, you married a Delilah, you married a, you know, somebody that really didn't have the true heart of God. And she disguised herself as a Christian, or she disguised herself as a decent woman or a good woman, but her heart was not for the Lord. Her heart was never really pure before the Lord. A real woman who's really in love with Christ Jesus, she's going to say, I will not have sex with you until we get married. And she's going to be adamant about it. It's going to be a deal breaker. Either you respect that or you don't. And a real man of God is going to say, you know what? I would have it no other way. We're going to wait till you submit before we have sex. So what do you think about that, Brother Raz? I know I said a whole lot, but about the whole part about what do you think about not having sex before marriage should be a deal breaker when you're starting to date somebody.
No, absolutely. I definitely agree with that. I think that, having premarital sex, you know, if the woman you're pursuing is willing to have premarital sex, then she may not be the right woman, or she probably is not the right woman, because that's just going to leave you open for demonic attack, you know. But you talked about a lot of important things, and you mentioned the Jezebel spirit, and I wanted to ask you, what is the Jezebel spirit, and how does it attack man through the woman it uses?
The Jezebel spirit, from what I gather from the scriptures, is somebody who's spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel was an evil woman who knew how to manipulate and control. So it's about control and it's about manipulation, which is witchcraft. And when a woman, when you start to identify those character traits in a woman, it's usually not just, oh, she's a little controlling or she's a little manipulating. It's usually a lot deeper than that. It's usually a spirit behind that. And that spirit is the Jezebel spirit. And the main thing it wants to do, it wants to take men of God out of, it wants to take your anointing, and it ultimately wants to take your soul to hell is what it wants to do. The main objective behind the Jezebel spirit. And they are strategically placed in churches, they're strategically placed in the ministries to take that brother's soul.
All
never
right.
Never trust a big gut and smile. That's poison. Bell Ben told me something about the Jezebel spirit.
Minister Dale, what are your thoughts about the Jezebel spirit?
Well, my thoughts about the Jezebel spirit is, you know, it really is, as she mentioned, it's the spirit of manipulation. And the interesting thing is, I know we're not talking about this, but, you know, it doesn't only affect the female, but it affects the male as well. Meaning, you know, I had a talk with a friend who said, man, you know what? I realized that for many years that I operate with that same spirit. And when I look at that, one of the things that it puts me in mind is that as you are evaluating each individual female, I think sometimes we get so caught up looking for the, I'm going to say the big 10, like, oh, my God, is she the biggest slut in the world? Or is she, does she cuss? Does she drink too much? Does she do this? Sometimes you miss the subtle things of, you know, the subtle manipulation, you know. and I really believe that that's what she's talking about today, is just the fact that those subtle things, because those subtle things, it's funny that those subtle things are the things that actually lead you to having premarital sex. It's kind of like if somebody just says, hey, let's have sex before marriage, you might not decide, you might decide not to do that. No, I'm good. You know, I want to stay with my walk with the Lord. But it's those subtle things that all of a sudden start to break from those defenses. Like the Bible says that it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. And you find yourself thinking, there's a scripture that talks about how the harlot, she waits as for a victim. So she's, you know, she's waiting as for a victim, you know, and so she opens up her heart and she starts talking to you, and you start feeling, you know, like, oh, I need to protect her, I need to take care of her, and it lends itself to a certain closeness, and next thing you know, you find yourself pulling away from your own value, and you are being manipulated by that spirit that's operating through her to get off course for what God has for your life.
Is like, when you start to compromise what you know God told you not to, or what you know God told you to do, and when this woman comes along in your life, you know, compromising. Anytime a man starts to compromise his walk with the Lord, it really is coming from a place of somebody is operating in a manipulating spirit behind that,
mm-hmm.
to get the other person.
Yep. I agree with that. Yeah.
And it's subtle. Like you said, it's subtle. It's subtle, but you subtly, next thing you know, you're making all these subtle judgments and decisions that seem subtle, but it's coming behind a smile and a laugh, but it's in a flirtatious way. Now you're compromising the word of God and what God put in your heart. Like, you already know in your heart it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it also starts to go into fantasy mode too, because you start to fantasize what it would be like for this person, and that, and it comes over into, okay, now I'm going to make a decision that I know in my heart is not right.
Yes. And everything else in the package can look great, you know, like you said, you see her at church, you know, she prays in tongues, she tithes, she does all these things, but there's this spirit that's operating through her that is designed to take you off course.
And you know what? We've gotten so far from the will of God, you know, we've gotten so far from Adam and Eve since the fall of Adam and Eve, that now, 2016, like he said, it's not just the women with the Jezebel spirits. You got these men operating in Jezebel spirits, which is really crazy, because now it's like a unisex spirit.
Yeah.
But, you know, so the devil, whether you're a male or a female, as long as he can take your soul to hell.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But coming, because I am a woman, and sometimes, you know, I grew up in church, and sometimes I'm speaking from a woman that knows, game recognized game, like, women know when another woman is operating like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm trying to come from the perspective of, for my brothers, like, don't be deceived. Like, you know, don't be deceived by these subtle things that they might be doing. Because at the end of the day, if she doesn't have a firm conviction about not having sex before marriage, that should already be the writing on the wall. That should already be the red flag if her convictions are not even there. If the conviction's not there, she's already compromised.
Right.
And if she's already compromised, then that already tells you that the marriage is not really ordained. I can't really say that marriage would be ordained if somebody was already compromising the word of God. She's not even convicted about the word of God. So right then and there, you got to say, is this marriage going to be ordained? No, it's not, because this person is not standing strong in her convictions, even at this point. So going forward is you know, reveal more that she's not really, her roots are not strong, her foundation is not. You know, going forward, you're dealing with somebody that doesn't have the foundation. She's not on the rock. She's not standing on the rock. So when the storms come, when the bad weather comes, hard times come, you already know she's going to fall apart. She's going to be like, girl, do I? And say, curse God and die. Sign up for this. I didn't sign up for this marriage. I didn't sign up for this. And there goes the marriage. Because
right.
The foundation wasn't right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we as men know that these women are not right for us. But I think, and I'm guilty of this, is that the beauty, the curves, the idea we have in our heads of what we want from them, a lot of times causes us to think that we can change them, and maybe enact our own will to create a better outcome, when God's already saying that this is not going to work, and the enemy knows this because he's observed us, and therefore he set that bait. The woman's the bait. And that
mm-hmm.
and for me, I know, you know we talked about this plenty of times where because of my disobedience and pursuing, as you say, a big butt and a pretty smile, that has caused me to lose money and lose time and peace of mind and all those things, when I could have waited and been patient and maybe waited for God's best in that situation. So I think a lot of men have faced that issue, where we are led away by men are very, you know, we're physically drawn to women. And so a lot of times that sometimes is more powerful than the leading of the Holy Spirit, unfortunately. Sister Pam, what do you have a comment?
Well, you know, the thing is, we're living in the last days. We're living in a crucial time where the Messiah is going to be coming back very soon. And you might get caught up in a situation where you don't have time to repent. And now the devil knows, like, ha-ha, you know, another one bites the dust. I just smashed another stone from the kingdom. Because it's really a war between the dark side and God. And, you know, and he's trying to see, like, how many people he can collect, how many souls he can collect. So, you know, you say you lost money and you lost time. But ultimately, people are losing souls to this whole seduction of the Delilah spirits and the, you know, the Delilah is basically about trick. He tricked Samson. He stayed in my lap. You know, how many times did he get fooled by that? And he just kept on laying in her lap. It's like, how many times our brother's going to get tricked by the same little funky trap? It's like, she didn't say anything. She kept saying the same thing. Tell me your secret. Lay in my lap. Let me. So he finally gave up his salvation to her. You know, he can only repent so many times. And it's like, you know, the devil doesn't have to keep using different tricks. He'll use the same trick over and over. She'll just, you know, one day her name's Tamisha. Tomorrow her name is going to be Pamela. The next day her name's, you know, Donna. Whatever. It's the same trick. And the devil knows, like, I don't have to change it up much because I see every time I put her in front of you, you fall in the same trap. You fall in the same hole, and it's, you know, it's man's biggest weakness, you know. So the best thing for a man to do, and for the best thing for a woman to do, is to realize how much Christ Jesus loves you, and falling in love with Christ Jesus, and saying, you know what, I don't want anything except for his very best for my life, and I'm willing to submit to Christ and willing to wait to get his ultimate best, because I want an ordained relationship, an ordained marriage. And she has to look Christ-like. She has to have the Christ-like characteristics. And, you know a tree by its fruit. One thing the Holy Spirit warned me about 2 years before I got married, he said, don't be a fool and think that a man will be faithful to you unless he's first faithful to me. And every time after that, when a guy would come and try to ask me for my phone number, I would hear that ringing in my ear. I would hear that ringing in my spirit. Don't be a fool and think this man's going to be faithful to you. And so it was like I had such an alarm bell going off in my spirit. Like the only man that I could really, truly fall in love with, give my heart to, has to be a man after God's own heart. He has to be faithful to God. He has to be, you know, sold out to the kingdom of God. He has to be sold out to the Lord. He has to be faithful to the Lord. He has to be a man that really wants God's will for his life. And, you know, you can meet people in church or you can meet people wherever and just ask a couple simple questions. Like, you know, I would ask people, really, do you believe in God? Of course, everyone's going to say, oh, yes, I do. Do you read the Bible? A little bit. Do you believe the Bible is the word of God? And that's when people will really reveal themselves to you. They're like, no, I don't believe all the Bible is revealed by man, but, you know, by God, and da-da-da-da. And they'll start ranting on about the Bible is not really the real true word of God. Right there, you know whether you're eating up with this person or not. When they start answering whether they believe is the word of God the author and finisher of their faith, and do they read it, do they abide in it, do they apply it to their life, that's a 5-minute conversation. And within 5 minutes, you know darn well whether you should give your phone number to this person or you should run for the hills. And it shouldn't even go any further than that 5-minute conversation. Like, they just reveal to you who they are in 5 minutes. Simple as that. And so
Amen.
For me, I didn't give my phone number out because just within 5 minutes, I knew we weren't spiritually helped. So yeah, you can be driving a Mercedes, you can be in a nice suit, you can have a nice haircut, have a nice job, but when you tell me you don't believe the word of God, when you tell me you don't even read it, you don't apply it, obviously you're not my husband. So I'm not going to waste more than 5 minutes of talking to you. And it should go the same way with a man. When a man approaches a woman, he needs to ask straight up questions about her spiritual life, about what she believes in the word of God. Does she read the word of God? Does she apply it to her life? Where she's at? If she can't give you solid, real answers, and she's struggling just to kind of even tell you the truth,
mm-hmm.
reading between the lines, this girl's obviously not, you know, a real, true person seeking God's will for her life. She's not in love with Christ. She's not pursuing Christ. She's not, you know, pursuing the word of God. She's not pursuing his perfect will for her life. It's going to be real obvious if you just ask real questions. And you'll save yourself the heartache, you'll save yourself the problems, you'll save yourself the drama, and you'll save yourself wasting all your time with the wrong Jezebel spirit, who ultimately is trying to take you to hell with her.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, guys, I want to, if you're tuning in for the first time, today's show is titled A Warning to Godly Men, and we have joining us, who's going to be doing part two next week, is Tiffany Buckner from Atlanta, Georgia. Tiffany, how you doing?
I am blessed. No complaints. How
are
you doing?
Good, Tiffany. So, Tiffany, you've been hearing what we've been saying about a warning to godly man. What do you think of today's topic?
Oh, it is very much needed. Very much needed. Because a lot of times men don't understand that there's an order with God, and the enemy is after the head. See, if you can get to the head, you can ruin the body. If you can destroy the head, you can destroy the body. So, mm-hmm. ultimately, first and foremost, he's after men. He's after women, too, but first and foremost, he's after men, because if you can take off the head, then the women have no covering. So it's a really good topic. Absolutely.
Now, Tiffany, you've actually written a book that's called, I can't remember the title. What's the title of it, Tiffany?
Devil Bait, High Heels and Spiritual
Devil
Warfare.
Bait. Now, you talk about in this book, you talk about, and I know we're going to be talking about this next week in more detail, but you talk about how correct me if I'm wrong, how the enemy will use women in the church to bring men down. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah. The thing is, the enemy understands. You can, okay, go back to the topic about Samson. Samson was so strong that all these armies of men are coming after him, and they can't take him down. So the enemy needs something that's not coming up against. What the enemy looks at, what's your strong point and what's your weakness? Samson's strength was in his arms. Of course, it was through his hair. But God put that strength in him. And the thing is, he had physical strength. And the enemy knew that. So he needed to catch Samson where he was weak. And it's the same area where a lot of men are weak, and that is in the area of relationships when it comes to women. Because the thing about a woman, the way a woman is, it's so easy for a woman to take a man down, is because when a woman comes, she comes looking weak and helpless. She doesn't come looking like a soldier. She doesn't come looking like she's about to take you down. And every man sees that he's physically able to overpower her. So if he trusts in his physical strength, then he doesn't guard, you know, his heart. He doesn't protect himself. So he gets to that point where when the woman comes, it feels like, you know, this woman is, she's coming and she's being soft and helpless. And it's just like, you know, hey, and, you know, he doesn't think that this woman has the ability to take him down. He doesn't think that, but he doesn't realize that what's on the inside of her, physically she may not be stronger than him, but what's on the inside, if she's not delivered, is far stronger than him and has the ability to take him down. What he's not looking at, the demon on the inside of her has no gender. Demons don't have genders. You know, we commonly refer to them as male because, you know, when God created things, they were always just first and foremost male. Female was created to, you know, God, because God said it is not good for a man to be alone, and so that God can reproduce, he can have people reproduce. But the thing is, whenever you're dealing with a demon has absolutely no gender. It has no gender. So when it gets inside of a female, it's just as strong as a demon that's inside of a male. It's not weaker because it's in a female. It's still strong. So, but the thing is, if you're not guarded, and, you know, in my book I talk about, for example, I used to be a seductress. I was messed up in the head. But I hung around a bunch of women, and most of us, we were immoral women. And the thing was, we can spot you from a distance. You know, and that was the thing. I didn't know what I was happening to. I didn't understand it. But we knew. We could look at a guy, and we knew that we could have him. And I now understand that it was the enemy telling us, this man is not guarded. He has no protection. He has no Holy Spirit. So he's easy. I could spot a guy, so could my friends, on the other side of the mall and say, he's going to be mine. He's going to be mine. And the thing is, when that guy sees a little small petite woman coming his way, and, you know, he doesn't think that this woman has the ability to overpower him. He's too busy trusting in his physical strength. He's too busy looking like, when I walk away from her, there is nothing going to happen to me. She'll just be mad or what have you, and that's it. But he doesn't realize that the enemy is not sending her so that the two of them can be together forever. She's just a bridge to allow the enemy to cross over into him. That's all she is. She's a bridge that allows for the connection. The enemy is always trying to build. I like to liken it to, like, communities, big cities. They're building these big, huge developments. So if he can catch an immoral woman who's outside the will of God and connect her to a man, whether that man be in Christ or out of Christ, once that man links himself to her, the two shall be one, which means that what's on the inside of her now has access to him. So that's the thing. Mm-hmm. What's on the inside of her, which couldn't get into him at first, now has access to him through her, through the soul tie, because now the two are one person. So one of the things I talk about in the book, for example, if a guy was to get away from a woman, and let's say he's been married for 20 years, and faithful to his wife, really good, and what have you, he never renounced the soul tie with the previous woman. That woman, what's on the inside of her, is still one with him, because there's a process to being delivered from a soul tie. You have to verbally renounce the soul tie. You have to repent, which means that if you had the opportunity, you wouldn't do it again. That right there makes the soul tie illegal, and then you have to renounce it. That's when you slip it. But I was talking about in the book, like, a guy could be away from a woman 20 years. He's at home with his wife, and everything looks good, but, you know, he's struggling so much, and he doesn't realize that he's saying, I don't understand why I'm being attacked and what's going on. It's because there are some doors that are still open in his life from previous soul ties. There are some doors that he never got a chance to shut, or he never took the time out to shut, because he thought that he, you know, I got away from it, I got in Christ, so I'm done. And it doesn't work like that, because the thing about marriage is not annulled just because you go get yourself saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. When you join yourself to a person, it's an illegal marriage. The marriage is not annulled. It's still very much apart. So you have to renounce that union. You got to repent of it, and you got to renounce it. Basically, you're snipping ties with that woman and everything that's in her. You're cutting all ties. And because a lot of guys don't know that, a lot of guys end up going through one attack after another, and they don't understand how the enemy uses the seductress to catch them.
Wow. Guys, you heard that. I want to take a few calls real quick. I want to take a call from the 619 area code. Hello, call from the 619 area code. Do you have a question or comment? Okay, I guess they just want to listen in. All right, let me see if we can take a call from the 951 area code. Caller from the 951 area code, do you have a question or comment?
Hello?
All right, they're just... Yes, sir. 951 area code. How you doing?
I'm fine. How
good.
Are you?
Good, sir. What's your name and where are you calling from? And what did you think of tonight's show?
My name is Ron, and I have been listening into the topic. And as a man who've experienced exactly what you're speaking about and your guest, I want to comment on when the Jezebel spirit is approaching the man, a man of God. Now, we do rely on our strength, our physical strength, but if we obey what the Word of God is saying by getting into our scriptures, into our devotionals, which makes us stronger day by day, but we don't always do that, and then we become weak in our spirit, and we rely on our own physical strength. And that's where we fall prey to the enemy and the Jezebel spirit. And like the sister was just speaking on, that soul tie, I've been a victim of that myself. And it is a hard thing to break. But the Word of God and the presence of God in you is the only thing that can break it. And I can stand and testify today that I have been free of a soul tie with a Jezebel spirit. And for the brothers that are out there that are listening, it is real. The spirit realm is just as real as you looking at a TV in your living room. And if it was exposed to you, it would probably scare you into submission. So read your word. Become very strong in it, as if you was in the gym working out to make your body strong. Do the same thing in the Word, because it's that real. And that's all I want to say on the topic.
All right. Let me take a quick call from another 619 area code. Hello, call from the 619 area code. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I think I got more of a comment. By the way, what the gentleman just said, I think, is the key. I think is being really plugged in. And I can honestly say there are times that I'm really plugged in. And there are times that my controlling side takes over, and I try to do things my way, and this it is what it is, and I feel the consequences. But to add to the lady who wrote the book, is that a lot of background noise? Is that I think too. You know, what you mentioned, you said, like, sometimes you get taken by the beauty and, you know, the curves and et cetera, et cetera. Hold on, baby. I'll be right with you. Yeah, go ahead. I think, too, what I want to say is that I think we also have, if you're not plugged in, we have these dysfunctions that we grow up with. I think that is deep, goes back, and I think sometimes we identify we give ourselves value, I guess you could say, based on who we're with, or, you know, if the woman's beautiful and she's desirable and there's a lot of other men that desires her, it almost becomes like some type of addiction, where it's not so much about the sex and everything else, but it's the fact that if I'm with this woman and she's desired by other men, that must mean that I must be special. Now, I'm kind of analyzing myself, because this is something that I went through, and it was kind of bothering me, because I knew that this person wasn't right for me, but at the same time, I felt like I can have that fix it thing, you know, like I can fix this, you know. We went to church together, and she is, quote, I guess, you know, she wants us to get plugged in with the church. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe there's hope. But then things went sour, and the way it affected me was kind of, you know, I kind of took it hard because it bothered me not so much that we broke up, but it bothered me by the fact that I allowed it to affect me the way it did. I felt like no woman should have that type of control over me, you know, because I have value. And if I have value, if she doesn't want to be with me, then so be it. You know, I can find other women. But that's how I was telling myself consciously, but subconsciously it was like it was a reflection that on me. And I think that a lot of men, too, and I'm just, I don't, you know, I'm just kind of putting it out there because I've taken classes where I've been around men that's had, you know, because we all grow up with these issues, you know, and no one ever talks about it. And then you get into these classes and you start learning that, man, there's a lot of people out there that have these dysfunctions that they were told that they would never, you know, they were told that, you know, mother or father never told them how much they loved them or they never gave them any value. These people, you know, people grew up with, you know, not thinking very highly of themselves. So, you know, and it reflects when they become adults in different areas, right? It manifests in different areas. And I think one area is in a relationship. So I was kind of analyzing that about myself because I went through some things as a kid. So when this started happening, I was like, man, this person's really having this type of impact on me. But then I realized that really I was wasting and focusing all this energy on this person. And I think going back to how you say the enemy comes in and tries to control and coerce and manipulate. And then it hit me that it's like, really, it's not about me and her. It's not about any type of issues or dysfunctions or whatever it is, because I was analyzing this day and night. I was actually on you know, YouTube looking at all these videos and stuff, right, relationships videos. And I realized that really what it is that my relationship with God was wrong. That's really what it came down to, is that I was focused on the wrong thing. I was focusing on everything else, but I wasn't focusing on what I should have been focused on, which is really getting my life right with God and focusing on that. And when I started thinking about it and then I started doing it, I started really praying more and I started reading more, it was almost like, for me, it was almost like this thing was lifted off of me, like I wasn't carrying this thing on my back anymore. And it was so much easier not to focus on that anymore. It was so much easier to just feel good when I woke up in the morning and be thankful. So I just wanted to add that in. I don't know if anything I said made any sense. I'm talking from my own personal experience. I don't know if anybody that's out there that can listen can identify. But I do think that a lot of times we give ourselves value. We lose the sight. We lose the fact that, you know, God loves us, and that in itself, and he died for each one of us, and that in itself is a big deal, you know, and that should make you feel good about yourself. But a lot of times I think we get lost in the fact of the material, right? And I guess in a sense, when you're talking about beautiful women, in a sense, that's material, I guess you could say, and we get lost in that. And that's why I think it becomes so complicated, because we start giving ourselves value based on what we're able to achieve. Sort of like, even like with money or with power or with, I think women is just another vehicle, or the wrong women, I should say, is just another way of, another vehicle that you can use to get lost in the material, I guess you could say. So for me, it worked out that when I started refocusing and just really focusing on God, that I was able to overcome that, at least in this particular situation. So that's my two cents.
All right, man. Thank you, man. And what's your name, sir, and where are you calling from?
Adrian, calling from California, San Diego.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Adrian. And so, you know, I think a lot of us as men, Minister Dell, can identify with that, where I know I can identify with what Ron had said and what Adrian had said, where when we come across a beautiful woman, we for some reason we get lost in that situation where that woman has now become the hottest commodity in our lives, just like a new car, so to speak, where you're so wrapped up in that situation that by being with this person or having this woman in your life, that she almost replaces god in a sense. You know what I'm saying? And she becomes your idol.
Like an idol.
And so, yeah. And so you have a sense of losing yourself. And Minister Dell, what do you think about that?
I think that's very true. I mean, like if I just take myself, I can't speak for everybody, but when Ms. Tiffany was talking about how the woman is coming, she doesn't look like a soldier. As men, we get so used to fighting different battles, different attacks. What we don't take enough time is to heal ourselves and recognize the hurts and the pains that are in ourselves. So when we see this woman, yes, I agree, the more beautiful, the harder it is. But for me, it's also about the fact that the more they're willing to listen in the beginning, the more they're willing to ask you for your help, the, you know, all those little things start making that connection, as you were talking about, and, you know, that connection starts to replace God, because what we're looking for is someone that can cause us not to be lonely. We face loneliness more than we like to admit. We are more emotional than we like to admit. We're more hurt than we like to admit. And this woman can come along and she can heal wounds and heal pains, you know, because women can turn you into a king or they can bring you down. And I think it's that ability, because there have been many women that I knew wasn't the one for me, but it's just the having, as we like to say, a friend, having somebody to connect with. Because a conversation with a woman is totally different than a conversation with your brother or your best friend. And we're missing that. You know, we're hurt and we're wounded. But when we see this female, she looks so dainty, you know, and she's so soft and she needs our help, that we think we're really helping her. And at the end, it's like, just like Ms. Tiffany said, you know, here's this small woman coming, and you're not thinking that she can hurt you. You're thinking from the strategic point of, well, what do I need to do to get with her? Well, what do I need to say to make things okay? I'm focused on, hey, you know what? I can help you change that tie. I can help do this. I can help do that. We're so busy trying to be of value to try to get somewhere with her that we don't even realize what's happening to us, you know, and then we're overriding our own internal alarm system that says this is not right, and we know it, but we so badly just want to have somebody that we can connect with, somebody that we can just talk to on the phone. And it starts out with those simple things, and gradually, you know, you find yourself being sucked in further, and then one day you wake up and you're like, how did I get here? How did I get to this point? But it really, and so then when we break up with that person, where I've seen a lot of females take a year, you know, whatever, until they find somebody else. Dudes, as soon as we break up, our response is, man, we going out tomorrow. I got to find somebody else to replace what I just lost, because we don't like those holes in our lives. And instead of allowing God to be what we need, we're trying to fill it with somebody else that God didn't design for our lives.
Amen. Sister Pam, what do you think of Bill Law's comment?
Well, I think, you know, words are very powerful. And like he was saying, it makes sense how men feel they want to fix things or they want to be a help to the woman if she comes to him, you know, with these type of needs. And that's the nature of a man, is to try to help to be that covering for the woman. And so men have to remember that words are very powerful. And the reason why I say that is because when you look at the story of Elijah was doing well up until Jezebel spoke a word.
Mm.
You know, he took his eyes off the physical, off the spiritual, and started looking at the physical. And how he forfeited his call to continue serving God is that he allowed Jezebel to intimidate him. And sometimes women can be intimidating, you know, like the men of God were saying, through her beauty, through her words. And like we all know, you know, words are very powerful. And so that's how Jezebel was able to get Elijah, is she spoke a word. And in the word that she spoke, is she said, if I can read the scripture to you guys, in Kings, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2, it says, well, first it says, one, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And verse 2 says, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So that's when he rose up and he ran. And so a lot of times the words that the woman could speak to the man can be not just intimidating, but like this man of God, he lost his sight. He lost his focus based on this witchcraft spirit. This woman had, you know, at this point she's operating in the spirit of witchcraft. Whether the woman is operating in the spirit of lust or witchcraft, mm-hmm. it's all the same thing. It's all demonic. It's all under the powers of satanic influence. Whether, and if that woman is to destroy that man's life, she's going to use whatever is you know, whatever Satan is giving her to use. Those demon spirits, they may know that man's weakness, and that's how they're going to infiltrate in to destroy that man. Jezebel, she spoke those words, and Elijah heard him, and he just took it and ran. So, you know, we have to stay so rooted in the word of God that when the enemy comes in like that, we have to lift up the word. He will lift up a standard if we have that word hidden in our heart. And the majority of us have gone through so many different experiences with these kinds of things that now we're stronger. Now we can use the word. We can see the enemy coming, you know, before he can even get a foothold, you know, and get his foot in the door. But, you know, sometimes it takes these type of experiences to learn. But that's, I just use Elijah as an experience to show that words are very powerful. We have to guard our heart and our mind when people are speaking into our lives, you know, because they could be speaking lies, and we need to know how to discern those lies and discern. And a woman can use intimidation to get that man, or a man can use intimidation to get that woman to, you know, give in. So,
wow.
You know, we just have to hear the word of God.
Awesome. Guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about A Warning to Godly Man, special guest, Minister Sherelle Mund. We have Tiffany Buckner. We also have Pam and Minister Del Lott from Atlanta, Georgia. Now, Minister Tiffany, I wanted to ask you a quick question. I remember there was a – I can't remember the exact scripture. Maybe someone can help me out here, where the disciples were – Jesus was with his disciples, and he said, now we need to come because the prince of the power of the air, he's coming, and he has nothing in me. And that's so powerful to me because a lot of the times – Jezebel and these spirits from the enemy and these seducing spirits are only empowered when they've exploited something within us that we have not relinquished to Christ. We have not given up to God, where we're still holding on to, as Adrian had pointed out, the caller, where he had unresolved issues from childhood. And a lot of times unresolved issues from childhood, be it low self-esteem or we were always growing up in high school, we were always the nerd who couldn't get the pretty girl. All of a sudden, as we get older, the pretty girl's into us, and that excites us. So there's a lot of different things, a lot of different issues and reasons why we do what we do and why we accept who we accept. And so what are the key things that a man can do to ensure that his any unresolved issues within his heart is relinquished and God has healed that, so that he can not be tempted or seduced by one of these evil chicks, should I say, for lack of a better term?
I would say this. First and foremost, I like to ask every man, who told you that woman was beautiful? The woman that you described as beautiful, who told you that she was desirable? Most of the time, beauty is defined by culture. Beauty is not, okay, in the United States, for example, what's considered beautiful is a woman who traditionally has European features. That's considered beautiful here. And when a woman is, you know, size 5, size 4, maybe size 7, have, you know, curves or what have you, beauty is cultural. Now, if you go to some parts of Africa, a skinny woman is not considered beautiful, and European features are not desired. If you go to some parts of Asia, you'll see, for example, they put these rings around their necks to make their necks real long. That makes them considered beautiful. So first and foremost, you have to pull your hand and your world is defining things for you. The world comes and says, for example, whatever culture you're a part of comes and says, hey, this is what beautiful is, and you accept it from the minute you're a child. So you adopt the world's views. You adopt a lot of things, and then from there, you become blind to your God-appointed wife because your God-appointed wife is a masterpiece created by the master himself. However, if you are in the world, if the world has a part in you, if there is sin in you, then the enemy can come and blind you to what God has assigned to you. Now, if you didn't have sin, if you were to renounce the sin and you were to submit yourself to God and resist the devil, the Bible says the devil has no choice but to flee from you. Then when you look, you're going to start to see beauty, but it won't be defined by somebody else for you. It won't be the definition of what culture says is beautiful. Like one of the guys was saying, you know, you want to have that guy, want to have that woman that everybody wants. But see, here's the thing. A lot of times they end up getting with the woman that everybody wants, has had, or will have, simply because they're looking at something that is just a cultural thing. It's like, I want to impress you. So it has to come out of that following thing. It has to get to the point where you say that I love God enough to blaze my own trail in life. I love God enough to go against the standard, to go against what is cultural, to submit myself wholly to God and let God and just ask God to uproot some stuff. Because sometimes when we pray, we ask God to uproot certain things that we know are evil, certain things that we think or we know are dangerous, but there are some things that we leave behind, and we don't ask God to uproot them. And one of the things that I've had to do was go before God and say, Lord, deliver me from everything that is unlike you. And I said, Lord, don't let me be afraid of their faces. I don't want to think like other people. I don't want to reason like other people. Because as a woman, there was a time in my life where I had to have the finest guy. You know, it was a competition. I had to have the guy that I could walk in and everybody wanted. It was a competition. And it wasn't building God. It wasn't, you know, doing anything for the kingdom. It was more so feeding into my own voice, my own desire to say, or for somebody to validate me, for somebody to say, you got it. You know, look at her. So that right there has to die. Because as long as the enemy has a part in you, for example, if you're still concerned with what your friends think about you, then your friends are still holding a remote control to your life. They're choosing your wife for you. They're choosing your income. They're choosing your job. They're choosing your career path. Because you're too busy trying to go out and outshine them, and you're not going in the direction that God wants you to go in. And one of the things I believe with my whole heart is that if a man gets rid of, I'm talking about all of the cultural stuff, and says, Holy Spirit, take over. Lord, lead me, order my steps, my thoughts, my tongue, order everything in me. What God will do, God will be so pleased with that man because he's now officially a godly leader, meaning he's not influenced by the world. He's not influenced by his friends. He's not influenced by culture. Then God can give him a blessing the size of the blessing he gave to Joseph, to David, to Abraham. He can bless that man because that man is not led astray. That man is not led astray by culture, because what culture does is it's like a clique. That's all cultures are a bunch of cliques. You know, we got American culture, and in America, we got a lot of different cultures in America. You know, for example, we'll say, you know, in African-American culture, then what's considered beautiful is a skinny woman with the hips and a behind. But in Caucasian culture, that's not considered so attractive. And, you know, in some parts, because it depends on where you're coming from, sometimes it's just straight up skinny, very, very skinny, like size 3, size 4. So it's all a cultural thing. But if you break outside of the culture, if you can break past that, that's the hardest thing. If you can break past culture and you can put your hope in God and you can say, I want to do the will of God. God, this life, I belong to you. I'm your vessel. Use me in any way you see fit. Because a lot of folks are scared to say that. They're scared that God's going to start tearing some stuff down. He will. He's going to remove some people from your life who've been influencing you, who've been having you going in circles, people who will never allow you to meet your God-appointed wife, people who will keep you on this path, and you will always be competing with them if you were to surrender, if you would go before the Lord and say, God, I want you, God would assign a woman to your life that's going to match the level of submission that you're at with him. And that's what you call a good thing, and that's what you call favor. God will add a woman to you that can, I mean, this woman can walk with you, and everywhere she goes, she doesn't have to be with you. She bears your name, because when you marry a woman, you put your signature, you put your last name on her. You literally sign that woman. So when she goes out and she's going and people see her without you, they say, this man must be blessed to have her. But if you stay in culture and you continue to follow the lead of what culture says is beautiful and what you should want, then you're going to keep on falling into bed with Jezebel. Because culture right now, you can see on television, it promotes Jezebel. Jezebel is the most promoted spirit on the television right now. You know, you're going to keep finding yourself being drawn into the Jezebel. And then what happens is a lot of guys in the church, they try to stay away from the obvious Jezebel, the Jezebel that's controlling, the Jezebel that's dominant. But I got to challenge you, something that God taught me, not every Jezebel is controlling. Not every Jezebel is dominant. Some Jezebels are just manipulative. They're soft-spoken, and they come off as sweet. But that woman can get into your life, and the minute you put your signature on her, or the minute you lie down with her, you become one with her. What's on the inside of her now has the ability to take authority over you because you are not in submission to God. So what's in the inside of her will take authority over you. And while you're over there enjoying her, the enemy is busy devouring you. He starts to attack your finances, your peace, your health. He starts to attack you in every area possible. And then one of the things that he wants to do, and I want to tell the men this because a lot of guys don't know this, a woman can take you as deep as your relationship is in lacking with God, meaning where you're supposed to be in God, if you're not there, a woman can take you into sin just that deep. She can take you far because when a woman is lost, a woman can make up in her mind how hard she wants you to fall for her. I'm telling you, I was that woman. Most of the people around me were that woman, were like that. A woman can make you fall as deep as she wants you to fall. And the thing is, if you're sitting back and you know, if there's something on the inside of you where you feel like, I want nurturing, I want protection, or I want love, I want somebody who's going to be there for me, then she's going to play into that. If she wants a husband and she's tired of being single and she just thinks you're cute, doesn't necessarily mean she wants to submit to you. Doesn't necessarily mean that she wants to be led by you. It means she's attracted to your face and your finances. She's attracted to what you're going to look like on her arm and how you're going to make her feel. So if a woman can get into your life and this woman has no Holy Spirit or is not in submission to God, that woman can lead you into sin and you don't even know you're being led. She can lead you into that sin deeper and deeper to the point where you can't even breathe without talking to her. You can't even think. You get so lost in your thoughts when the minute you get up in the morning, you're so enraptured. That's called being bewitched. You are now in entrapment by Jezebel. And that woman can capture you like that. And the next thing you know, like I said, you can't stop thinking about her. And everything that she does, you're magnifying it because you're afraid, because this woman, you recognize that this woman has a power over you. She has a power over you that you're just like, okay, I don't want her to exploit this. I don't want her. She got the power to hurt me, to shame me. She got the power to break me, and I don't want her to tap into it. And a lot of times when that happens, a man start trying to, you know, take control. But the thing is, you submit. The Bible says submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Bible also says seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. So I'll say this. One thing, there was a time when I was into the whole cultural thing, and I was chasing up behind an idea of beauty, success, and everything. I had to die to that. That stuff had to come out of me because it kept leading me into the wrong relationships. It kept leading me into error. When that stuff came out of me, it changed my perspective. When I stopped caring about what folks thought about me, or if I get with this guy, okay, so people are going to think this and think that. They're going to say, why is she with him? When I stopped caring, caring about what people, and I got delivered from people bondage, because that is a demonic spirit. When I got delivered from people pleasing and people bondage, and I submitted myself to God, and I resisted culture, I resisted all of those things, the blessings of God began to find me, because I was now in the will of God. And then God began to not only position my body, he positioned my mind. He positioned me, and he got me in order so that I could be found. You know, and that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize that positioning is very important. If you're out there looking for a woman, but yet still your heart is not in submission to God, then you're in error. You're already digging a grave for yourself. All the enemy has to do is come along and push you on in it. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you are seeking. And this is literal. You do have to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God and let God change your plans. Because most of the time people are chasing their plans. They're chasing the idea. They're chasing this, well, I want to have this house and I want my girl over here. She's going to be the finest thing. And I got these, my boys, and they're going to be like, man, this guy got a nice house, nice car. He got a beautiful woman. But your plans go against God's will for you in a lot of cases. God's plans for you are far greater than your plans for yourself. It has not even entered in your heart to what God has for you. So that's why it's important to seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. You put away everything else. You forsake everything else. That's how Jezebel has no authority over you. That's how she has no power over you. Because if Jezebel can get you, if Jezebel can entice you, if Jezebel can get you in any kind of way, if she has any place in you, meaning you're in people bondage, you want to please folks, you want folks to, and you're hanging around the wrong people, you're still in submission to an idea. If Jezebel has any of those things, any type of sin in you, then no amount of confess is going to help you. No amount of prayer calls, no amount of prayer is going to help you. It has to get to the point where you got to start putting the work in. You can't just talk about it. You got to put the work in. You got to put it in, and you got to, it's an intentional thing. Die to yourself every day and submit to God and let God do a work in you. And I tell you the truth, and I say this to every man, I challenge you, if you get to the point where you submit to God and you resist all the culture, the lies, and all of the stuff that the enemy told you, when God adds a woman to your life, you will change this culture one by one. People will begin to follow you. You will see a shift. You will see people sitting back and they're saying, that woman is so anointed. I don't even understand how I never saw her. That's the thing. You resist culture. You resist the enemy. You resist the ideas. And just get into the will of God, because your purpose in earth is not just you getting a woman, having babies. Your purpose in the earth is you doing the will of God. So that's the thing you want to go ahead and start doing, so God can add to help meet to you.
Amen. That's powerful. Wow. Well, Minister Sherelle, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, I was listening to everybody's comments, and everybody is very powerful with their feedback. And some of the things that came to my mind is, how do we apply all this to our lives and position ourselves for the right person? And one of the things that came to my mind was, if you are seeking a partner, a wife, a husband for the rest of your life, an ordained marriage, I think one of the best things you can do is sit back, make a list of all the things you want in that person so you can actually identify the do's and the don'ts, the right things, and so you have a practical thing to actually, like, you know, where it's almost like you want something, but you don't know what you're looking for. So it's almost like you have to identify the characteristics in a virtuous woman, in a godly woman, or in a godly man, you know, if you're a woman. And really know what you're looking for. And I would actually fast and pray that God will bring you a wife that is a virtuous woman, that is a God-fearing woman. That way, so when you do cross paths with this person and you do meet this person, the Holy Spirit could put in your spirit, he could speak to your spirit and tell you, this is the person you've been fasting and praying for. This is a woman who's after my own heart. This is a true woman of God. You know, and when you have been fasting before God and you are, you know, walking with the Lord, he will speak to your spirit. He'll tell you, this is the woman you've been praying for, or this is a Jezebel, or this is the wrong woman. And I think when you actually start to fast and pray for your wife or your future marriage, God will honor you. God is faithful. He will actually protect you and tell you yes or no, yes, she is the one, or no, she's not the one. We're not just here wandering around like blind sheep. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He will help us in these decisions. He will actually speak to our spirit and tell us yes or no. So we don't have to make a blind guess. We don't have to wander in the dark and be like, oh, I didn't know. You know, I found out the hard way. No, we can know immediately if this person is of God or is not of God. Is this person, you know, coming from God, or is this person coming from Satan? Like, we can know right away. You don't have to just find out the long way 2 years later. That's madness. We could, like I was saying, you could know within 5 minutes of talking to somebody if you're even equally yoked with this person. And then if you are equally yoked, you know, fast and pray. Ask God to reveal this person to you. And you know, and I believe God is not just wanting us to stumble around in the dark. He wants to shed light on these things. He wants to reveal. He wants to give us revelation. So it's up to us to seek you first, the kingdom of God, like my sister said, and seek God, and God will give you an answer. He will. If you're not hearing from God, I suggest you fast, you pray, and I believe you will have a breakthrough, and you will hear from the Lord. And, you know, I think it's time to just spend time with God, seek Him, seek His word, fast, pray, and you're going to get direction and guidance and answers about the person. Or if you haven't found the person, God will give you peace and be content, single, until you do cross paths with the right person. But the wrong thing to do is to settle for these Jezebels and settle and jump the gun and go ahead of God and say, well, I'm tired of waiting on God. I'm tired. When people say, I'm tired of waiting on God, what they're really saying is, I don't trust God. Or what they're saying is, because God is not waiting on, I mean, we're not waiting on God. God is actually waiting on us. God is waiting on us to get in line with His will. There's something we're doing that's not in His will. He's waiting for us to repent. He's waiting for us to get right. He's waiting for us to line up with His will. And when we do that and we fully submit, like she said, fully submit and surrender every single day, die to your flesh, He will reveal to us what we're praying about, what we're seeking Him. And it's just a matter of time to really, really be obedient, submit, surrender, and fast to pray. And I believe when you really do that, that is, you're setting yourself up, you're positioning yourself up for a blessing and for God's ordained calling marriage. Because God is not of Him. So, you know, I really believe we just got to position ourselves for, you know, and being obedient. And our eyes will be clear. You know, we will not be deceived. I believe God will reveal clearly, especially if it's the wrong person or the right person.
Amen. Okay, guys, well, we're coming to the end of the show. So what I would like to do, I'll start with Tiffany. If you can, each person for 2 minutes, at least just give your closing comments and give your, you know, advice to men who are listening, who are seeking a wife and are getting over some issues and just really trying to navigate their way through, you know, to the ultimate in God's favor, which is a godly wife. And so, Tiffany, what's your closing comments?
I would say go to the Bible and study the word love. Find out what love is. A lot of times what people do is they settle for things that look like love, feel like love, and it's not really love. And our today and age, there are a lot of people out there who are seeking love, but they don't understand love, so they end up in a bunch of lust-filled, obsessive relationships where everything feels good for a while. And then eventually a storm comes, and when it's tested, it's not love. So what happens is people start to fall away from each other because there is no love there. So first and foremost, seek and understand what love is. Love, there are different levels of love. You want to get to unconditional love. Get to that place and understand love. And more than anything, seek the kingdom of God like never before. Don't just go to church and hoop and holler and raise your hand and cry and then go home and get right back into sin, because really what you're doing is you're just basically holding hands with the devil. It's kind of like being married to somebody of a different religion, and you say, well, I'll go to your church and you'll come to my church, and nobody's getting any help. So what the thing you have to do is you got to make up your mind as to what you want. It starts in the mind. For me, for example, it started with I made a decision. I made a decision as to what I want, which is the reason why I resist now. When a man tries to come to me, like Sister Sherelle was saying, I test that spirit from the minute that man approaches me. A guy doesn't last with me most of the time, not even past hello, because the thing is I want to know, where are you in Christ Jesus? Because the thing is, what got me to that point was I made up my mind what I want. I let God change Tiffany, and I made up my mind, and I sat back and I started building a blueprint for my life, and I made up my mind that I'm not going to settle. I'm not just going to get with a man just to have a man. I'm not going to just sit back and be standing at the altar and, you know, running around the altar dancing and laughing just because I got a man, not realizing that I'm marrying my ex-husband. I'm marrying somebody who's going to potentially be my ex-husband or the weapon that was formed against me. So the thing that I had to learn to do as a woman, and this is what men need to do, you got to get to the point where you got to let God change your plan. You got to get to the point where you let God do a work in you. And then at the same time, when God begins to work on you, start thinking about what it is that you want. You make it up in your mind. And if you find yourself saying, well, I want my homeboy to be jealous of me, then, okay, you still got some more dying to do. Don't look for a woman then. Look to die. Let that flesh of yours die some more. Every time you check yourself, you test the spirit in yourself before you learn to test it in other people. So you start paying attention to what it is that you want. And when you get to that place where you say, I want my God-appointed wife, I want a woman who's in full submission to God, I want to have children with this woman, I want to cover her, I want us to pray, I want us to lead God's people. When you get to that point, I can tell you right then and there, you're going to find your wife.
Amen, amen. Amen. Real quick, Minister Dell, what's your closing comments?
You know what, to be honest, I could just piggyback off of what Tiffany just said. You know, when she's talking about studying scriptures about love, I had to minister to a young lady who was dealing with a situation with a relationship, and the word of the Lord came to me is not only just study scriptures about love, but develop a revelation of God's love for you. A lot of times we like to talk about how much we love God, I love God, but we don't take the time to develop the revelation that God loves us and how much he loves us, because it ends up when the love that someone else is giving you doesn't match up to what he's giving you, then that's not a relationship that he has for you, because he wants the relationship that he has for you to mirror his love for you. If you realize how much he loves you, you realize he's not going to send you second rate. He's not going to send you somebody that's going to manipulate you and somebody that's going to harm you. And when you realize that he loves you and how much he loves you, that love begins to fill your life, and now you're not searching somewhere else for the love that really you're longing for from God. Once you realize, wait a minute, God loves me, now that frees you from the bondage of hurt and pain and insecurity. That frees you from all of that, and now you're able to look at a situation and judge whether or not it's God's gift for you based on whether or not it mirrors his love for you.
Amen. That's powerful, Minister Dale. That's powerful. Sister Pam, what's your advice to men listening right now who are seeking a godly wife, who in the past have got themselves caught up with the wrong kind of women? What would you say to those men?
I would encourage them to look for the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit will give you a lot of background of the character. If the woman is a woman of integrity, the fruit of the Spirit, a lot of times if you get into consistent prayer communication with God, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in your holy tongues, if you have the gift of spirit, speaking in tongues, ask God to just continue to reveal to you the spirit that's in the woman, the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, a sound mind, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, self-control, temperance. Look for those things in that woman. And then you'll see more than just the outward beauty. You'll see the inward beauty. You'll see the heart of the woman. You'll see the woman that God, how he's molding and you'll see the spirit of the woman if she has the heart of the king, if she has the heart of God. You'll be able to pick those things up. If you're walking in the spirit, you'll be able to pick those things up. You'll be able to identify those things. If she has that mind like Esther, who's prepared herself, who's adorned herself with the word of God, who's been spending a lot of time with God, you'll know by the fruit, by what comes out of her mouth, by her body language, by the way she carries herself. If she's a virtuous woman, a Proverbs 31 woman, you'll see that if you're walking in the spirit. And that's why you got to stay so close to God that you'll be able to pick up these attributes immediately. That's why he told us to plead the blood of Jesus over us daily. Walk in the gifts of what he's given us. And that is to be able to discern, to be able to see, to be able to observe. You'll be able to pick up that spirit. You'll know it. If you're close to God, you will know that. You'll be able to see it by, you know, God will reveal it to you. He'll speak to your heart. He'll give you that peace. And that's how I've learned to walk in the peace of God, to be able to discern. When God sends me the man of God, I'll know it because I'm spending time with God daily. I'm staying in his word constantly, day and night. You'll know them by the fruit that they bear. And that's
what. Amen. Amen. You know, real quick, John 10:26 says, but because you are not my sheep, you refuse to believe. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Amen.
Amen.
Minister Sherelle, did I get your closing comments real quick? Did I already get yours?
I wasn't sure if that was my closing comment, but basically it could be if we're running out of time.
We got 2 minutes.
Well, I agree 100% with everything everybody said. And I think right before I've been married now 9 years, and right before I got married, God was dealing with me and he was telling me everything that you guys have shared tonight. Seek the kingdom of God first, put him first. Don't make an idol out of a man. Don't make an idol out of a woman, you know, for the men out there. Pray, fast and pray. Get a vision of what you're, you know, what type of marriage you're looking for, what type of husband you're looking for. Be specific with God. Like, ask for, you know, I think God is pleased when we actually make a plan and a vision and make a plan before the Lord and, you know, visualize what that marriage would look like. That way, when these people approach you or you approach them, you know what you're looking for. You're not going to just settle for just anything. And you know what a real man of God looks like. You know what the father of your children looks like or the mother of your children look like. You know, she's going to be that example of a godly woman. And like the sister just said, the fruit of the spirit, you know, identify the fruit of the spirit. You know a tree by its fruit. You know, you got to go deep. Look past the physical realm and look in the spirit and see who she is in the spirit. And I think that's the most important thing. Identify these people in the spirit. If you can identify who they are in the spirit, you're going to go a long way. And you should be
Amen.
Able to identify. If you're walking with Christ, you should be able to identify pretty quickly who these people really are.
Amen.
So that's my closing comment.
Amen. Well, guys, thank you so much. I want to thank Minister Sherelle all the way from New Zealand. I want to thank Tiffany Buckner all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. I want to thank Minister Dale Lott, powerful words, man of God, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. I want to thank Sister Pam all the way from Sacramento, California, and myself, Raz Williams, out of Riverside, California. I want to thank the guests that called in, and thank you guys for your comments. And, guys, please listen in. I believe, Tiffany, we have you on next week or the following Friday?
Oh, next week. We'll be doing next week.
Okay, awesome. We're going to have special guest Tiffany Buckner. We're going to talk about her new book called Tiffany, I'm sorry, what's the name of your new book again?
Devil Bait.
Devil Bait. There you go. Devil Bait. It's going to be a powerful, powerful book, man of God. So you got to listen to the show. We'll see you guys next week. Have a blessed weekend.